My friends, please rise for the reading of the scripture today. The passage is taken from the ancient book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 13. It is an invitation to the abundant life. Hear, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear, and come to me. Listen so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Now you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall be to the Lord for a memorial, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This, my friends, is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be
to God. You may be seated.
Please pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each one of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many of you know that I was in Nebraska last weekend to celebrate my mom's 80th birthday. I hadn't been west of Omaha in several years. My mom lives in Lincoln, which is southwest of Omaha, and a lot had changed. One thing that is a constant, however, is the abundance of water in my home state. Nebraska comes from the indigenous Omaha Sioux Nebraska, which means flat water, and the Oto Nebraska, which was used to describe the Platte River. Farmers, ranchers, urban residents, industries, recreationists, livestock, and wildlife all depend on Nebraska's most precious natural resource, water. Water is vital to life, and thanks largely to the High Plains Aquifer, Nebraska has more groundwater than any other state. Two-thirds of the High Plains Aquifer's total water storage is in Nebraska. And you thought Nebraska wasn't interesting. The Ogallala Aquifer is part of the High Plains Aquifer that spans 8 states and covers 170,000 square miles. If poured over the surface of the state, the water in those aquifers would have a depth of 37.9 feet. Above ground, the state is laced with nearly 80,000 miles of flowing rivers and streams. That's a lot of water. On the drive to and from Nebraska, I cross the Platte River, the Missouri River, and the Mississippi River. Not the ocean, I know, but still beautiful and a precious natural resource. This morning, we begin a new series entitled Deep Well, focused on the sacrament of baptism and the image of God's living water. Just as Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, we come to the waters for our own baptisms. Although we do not typically practice immersion, as we give thanks for the water that is sprinkled on the head of the baptized, we remember the power of water that God provides upon our planet. Water is complex, though, isn't it? The rain of thunderstorms and hurricanes can lead to flooding. Ocean waves can sink ships, and river rapids can tip over rafts. On the other hand, water can be calm and relaxing. Still waters on a pond, the gentle flow of a brook or stream over rocks and logs, floating on a cushion in a swimming pool, or simply soaking in a hot bath, offer us a sense of peace and comfort. But perhaps even more important than the chaotic or peaceful nature of water is the fact that it is necessary for us to survive. Over 2/3 of the human body is composed of water. And if you have ever been dehydrated, you know how important it is to our health and the optimal functioning of our body. Furthermore, water is necessary to grow food and keep our ecosystem working at its best. Our scripture text from Isaiah opens with this image of water, the sustaining element to which we are invited. Here, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, and without price. The passage we have before us is the last chapter of the second part of Isaiah entitled The Book of Comfort. The Hebrew people have been in exile in Babylon and they are returning to their homeland. Jerusalem is in ruins. God's people are returning to a land that had been destroyed by war. But God promises sustenance. This probably seemed ludicrous to God's people, this image as they left their homeland. They would have had to have felt joy at returning home, but also defeated when they see the state of their homeland. But God says to them that Israel will be at the center of power in the future and that they will never be alone. God promises the people that the words he speaks will accomplish his purposes. Israel will be redeemed. It will be saved. The Hebrew people most certainly would have been physically hungry and thirsty. But what we also hear is that God provides not only physical nourishment, but also spiritual refreshment. As children of God, we are provided with spiritual food and drink for our hungry and parched souls. We're invited to a relationship with Jesus Christ to approach the waters. But will we accept the invitation? Will we drink the spiritual refreshment that our God offers us? In celebrating a baptism this morning, we were reminded of the promises that God makes to us and those we make to God. The vows we make are based on what we call the baptismal covenant, A covenant is a binding agreement between two parties, in this case, God and ourselves. God through Jesus Christ and us. The concept of covenant begins in the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament. The first was the one that God made with Noah, a promise that God will never destroy the earth again by flood. The visible sign of that covenant is the rainbow. And then there was the covenant that Yahweh made with Abraham, that Israel will be God's people and Yahweh will be their God, and that God's people would number more than the stars in the heavens. The sign of this covenant promise was circumcision. The sign of the baptismal covenant is only visible through the lives that we live. But the act of placing water upon the head of the baptized and the laying on of hands, invoking the presence of the Holy Spirit, those are an outward sign of the inward grace with which God has blessed us. In this passage from Isaiah, we hear about an eternal covenant, this binding promise, which God will never break. We may break the covenant that we have made with God, but God will never break the covenant with us. God claims us, loves us, and will always be ready to respond when we reach out. It's amazing that God continues to engage and offer this gift of covenant love. The Israelites disobeyed God's law over and over again. They faced consequences, but God always welcomed them back. When they worshiped the golden calf, a graven image which the law forbade, God did not cut the people off. Moses convinced God to forgive the people, although God did punish them. When King David had an affair with Bathsheba and had her husband Uriah killed so he could claim her as his own wife, God did not remove him as the leader of God's people. However, the consequence was that the son of Bathsheba died due to David's sin. When we make poor choices, there are often negative repercussions, but God forgives us when we repent. Several weeks ago, I concluded a series on John Wesley, and remember those types of grace. Prevenient grace is the grace that comes before we even know about it, before we're even aware of God's love. And justifying grace is the grace that comes as we turn away from wrongdoing back toward God, remembering those baptismal promises. God's abundant love and grace, symbolized through the waters of baptism, are the deep well to which we are called and by which we are sustained. This past January, I was in Mexico with friends, staying at a resort right on the beach, and it was beautiful. I hadn't been into the ocean other than wading probably up to my knees for almost 30 years. The last time I was fully in the ocean in 1997, I'd gotten pulled down by an undertow in the Pacific, and it really scared me. So I've never gone back in. My friends kept telling me I needed to come in, that the water was so amazing. I told them why I was hesitant, and they promised me that they would be right beside me and they wouldn't let anything happen to me. I had wonderful memories of being in the Atlantic Ocean with my cousins, swimming and riding waves, and I really did want to reclaim that joy. We walked in holding hands and gradually made our way deeper and deeper. My friends reminded me when to jump in order to ride the wave. Melissa instructed how to keep looking back to the shore so that I was oriented to our location. And it was glorious. The sun shining down on my face, the buoyant water surrounding me, and the waves carrying me were a healing balm. The fear that I had carried with me from decades earlier, and the shame that I felt from the person I was with because I wouldn't just go back in right away. The ocean certainly was a dangerous place, but the healing came. The ocean is a place over which we have very little control. It's dangerous. We could drown. But the fear that I had began to dissipate. We know that the ocean and rushing rapids can be dangerous. Water is powerful. And it is important to have a dose of healthy caution. But water is life-giving in so many ways, physically and spiritually. So we approach the waters knowing that to be true. The water that God offers us, the waters of baptism, remind us of this, that it's chaotic and powerful, but also peaceful and empowering. In baptism, we say that we die to the old life and we rise into the new. When the early Christians were baptized early on Easter morning in a pool like the one on the screen, they entered into the baptismal pool completely submerged in order to experience this dying and rising symbolically. Although we are only baptized once, every time we baptize someone in our community of faith, we remember our own baptisms, our own dying to fear and brokenness, and rising to joy and new life, all made possible through Jesus Christ. I recently saw a documentary about Mary Oliver, who is a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, and her poetry focuses primarily on nature and creation. Now, I know poetry isn't really for everyone. I remember in high school, I never understood it, but I've grown to really appreciate it, and so I want to close with this poem by Mary Oliver that speaks about water, and it is entitled Creeks, or Cricks, depending on where you grew up. The dwindled creeks of summer, unremarkable except down pasture, through woodlot, they are so many, and keep such a pure sound in each roiling thread, trickle past the knees of trees, dropped leaves, salamanders, each one scrubbing and cooling the pebbles of its bed. My back to hickory, I sit hours in the damp wood listening. It never ebbs. Its music is the shelf for other sounds. Birds, wind in the leaves, some tumbled stones. After a while, I forget things as I have forgotten time. Death, love, ambition, the things that drive like pumps in big rivers. My heart is quieted, at rest. I scarcely feel it. Little rivers running everywhere have blunted the knife. Cool, cool, they wash above the bones. Amen.